Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and David Garrard.
And welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday morning to you. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today live at Everbank Field. And, of course, with free agency 5 days away, we have prepared for this show by spending the last 10 or 15 minutes discussing the brand-new Avengers Age of Ultron trailer. David, hello. How are you?
I'm good. And, I had to get these guys back on track. I said, you know, what's going on today on the actual show?
Well, we're going to break down what the potential surprises we're going to get in the post-credit scenes in Age of Ultron and everything else that goes with it. A wonderful two-minute trailer out there. May 1st, baby.
And
it's coming.
And I did warn you guys, I am a little under the weather.
So I know.
I do sound a little nasally. I can hear it in the headphones here.
I can hear it, too, but it's all right. The way you described yourself to me the other day, I did not expect you to text me yesterday and say I'm good to go for tomorrow.
It was really bad the other day. Went to one of those little minute clinic things.
The minute clinic.
Yeah, and I got a little medicine to help me out.
All right, well, good. We're glad you're feeling better. Well, at least we hope you're on the mend. 5 days away until Jaguar fans hope that this team starts to be on the mend in terms of adding and acquiring new talent. We'll get to all the latest out there. Adrian Peterson meets with the Vikings. Kind of happy, not 100% happy. It seems like after that coming out yesterday, I don't know how it's going to get done, but Adrian Peterson's had to have played his last football in Minnesota, don't you think?
Yeah, I just think the way things are heading that he wants to be out of there. You know, I think go back to when he was talking to the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, you know, that one night, I think in his booth or something like that. So I think he's just, you know, I think he wants to be out. And I think everything that happened last year is just leading to that way.
Yeah, it seems like he wants a fresh start. He's upset with a member of the front office. Forget the guy's name, but the guy actually got a promotion this year with the Vikings. And it's said that he was one of the, I guess, biggest vocally outspoken, non-supportive guys in the organization about Adrian Peterson last year. You know, when initially they wanted to keep him on the roster, then public sentiment turned as such, and they immediately suspended him after that. He ended up playing just the first game of the season for them. And look, you know, I heard Jeff and Dan talking about this morning. To me, if I'm the Vikings, I do what's best for me. I'm not worried about what Adrian Peterson thinks. Quite frankly, what's he going to do? Not play and not earn $10 or $12 million this year? He put himself in this situation. I guess he feels that the organization should know him better over the years that he's been there, that they should have been more supportive. It's a tough spot to be in, Dave, in today's NFL. As big a business as it is, and as much as, you know, the public persona and the public image you put out there impacts your bottom line. Now, we see teams that lose sponsorships over these kind of guys. You know, it happens all across sports. What are you supposed to do if you're the Minnesota Vikings and you were in that situation last year?
Yeah, I mean, it is tough. It's tough because he's still such a great player. Because he's a great player, it's making it tough on the Vikings. They had to take the stance of, you know, we don't condone what you did. The public opinion didn't condone what you did, so we're going to have to take a step back from associating with you at this time while you're going through court, while you're going through all your days of not being in the NFL. So we can't sit here and say, you know, we still give Adrian our 100% support. Normally you do that kind of stuff when somebody has like a drug issue or something like that. But when you go down the lines of, you know, you beat your child, and the pictures show how gruesome it was, it's going to be hard for anybody to support you through that. And so for Adrian Peterson not to understand that and not to be in a stance of, you know what, I hope you guys can forgive me. I want to be able to be a part of this organization. I want to show that I am the guy that you trusted in years past. I made a mistake. You know, he's not taking that stance. He's taking a stance of, you guys should know who I am. I don't like how you guys portrayed me in the public. I don't like that you guys didn't support me. He's taking the wrong stance because what he did wasn't right and it was terrible, and he does not see it that way. So I still see him as having issues upstairs still.
Yeah, if he was the 50th guy on the 53-man roster, he'd be gone. Right? He would be gone. If he was the 20th guy, he'd be doing what you're suggesting right
yeah.
now, right? He'd be hanging his head a little bit,
yep.
a little bit more humbled by it. He's the number one guy on that roster. And at the end of the day, he's still going to get an opportunity to play. He knows Jerry Jones wants him. I'm sure yep. others would line up to get him as well. So he's in a position where it doesn't really matter if he shows contrition or if he's angry or whether it's rational the way
yeah,
he,
but
we
I
think he
I
feels.
Think that as a human being, that's how you should be.
That may be.
And irregardless of, I know you shouldn't use ear, but regardless of.
Don't let the grammar police get you. They got me the other day.
Oh,
they'll get you. Regardless of whether he's 1 or 50, that is how he should be. And that is just morally right. That is, but if you still think you did nothing wrong and those pictures are just, that's how we punish our kids, then, you know, still mentally he has issues.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But the reality is he'll get away with whatever
yeah.
issues he's got
yeah.
because his talent dictates as much.
Absolutely.
And that's
he's
going to
be
30
before the end of the month.
I mean,
know. We're talking about an aging player. He's 30 in March.
He does
right?
not. But he does not play
no,
like
he doesn't.
He's turning 30.
No, he's a special guy.
He is.
And that's why the conversation
21 carries
continues.
74 yards last year.
Right.
First game.
But you're
Come
talking
on.
About a guy, $13 million this year is what he's going to make. 15 next year, $17 million in 2017 for a 32-year-old running
He's
back.
He's not going to make
and
that anyway.
That's
I
why if
think.
You're Minnesota, you're looking at it right now going, whatever. You know, like, we want to have a conversation because we don't want to look like we're shoving a guy who's probably going to be a Hall of Famer one day out the door in Minnesota, but we're trying to save face a little bit. We're not going to pay a running back $13, $15, and $17 million yeah. at 30, 31, and 32 years old.
You wouldn't think so. Clearly, by
Maybe
far
Dallas,
and away,
though.
The highest-paid running back. I can't imagine Dallas paying that kind of money. If you're only going to pay DeMarco Murray $4 million bucks, and that's the report, and $4 million seems incredibly low. When you hear the
yeah.
you hear the story that Buffalo, before trading for LeSean McCoy, we'll get your thoughts on that coming up here too, offered C.J. Spiller a contract that averaged $4.5 million a year. Like, if you want to stay, we'd like to have you back. Here's the price point. Dallas has said, at least one story I read, not wanting to pay DeMarco Murray more than an average of $4 million a year. Well, how can that be? So here you've got Adrian Peterson, who's set to make more than three times as much, and he's older, and people say, yeah, but he had the year off. Well, I mean, you know, some guys take a year off, everyone says, well, he's going to be rusty. I guess Adrian Peterson is just going to come back better than ever at the age of 30. Not worth $13 million, in my opinion, but I don't think it's a moot point. I don't think anybody trades for that contract. He may end up getting released, or he gets traded with an agreement to restructure
yeah.
the deal as part of the whole thing that goes into it. Peyton Manning restructured his deal. We'll talk about that today. $4 million less. Is that a great service to the Denver Broncos? Is it far short of what Peyton could have or even should have done? Easy for us to say what he should have done. It's his money, not our money, clearly, but we'll touch on that. What do you think of the LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso deal?
You know, when I woke up that the other morning, I thought, man, this is crazy. This is shady McCoy right here. How do you let this guy go for a backer that's coming off an ACL injury? But I just remember when Kiko was playing, he was looked at as the same as the kid for the Panthers.
Kuechly,
yeah. And
Kiko and Kuechly.
They're basically the same type of linebacker. Sideline to sideline, can run with anybody. Going to have 1,000 tackles each year, just an all-around beast of a linebacker. So it made a little bit more sense, and he's young.
And he's cheap.
And so now you have that middle linebacker or whatever backer shored up for however long now. I liked how somebody was saying how they were getting rid of Shady at a point where people still are interested in him and they still want him high, but yet he might be kind of – not the tail end, but his value is going to start to go down in a few years. And so they got rid of him when they could at a high point, got a lot of cap space from getting rid of him. So it seemed like it made sense on both sides.
Yeah,
honestly.
Especially because you see what Chip Kelly's done Getting rid of Todd Harriman's, getting rid of Kerry Williams, getting rid of DeSean Jackson last offseason. He's moving guys. He is not afraid to get rid of bigger name players on his team, especially if they don't fall in line with his vision for the team. Rightly or wrongly, it may turn out to be a catastrophe for Chip Kelly, but the growing sentiment was LeSean McCoy was not going to play at that number in Philadelphia this year. So rather than just cut him and not get anything for him, they got a young linebacker. Yeah. Sure, he's coming off an ACL, Dave, but the risk is so minimal because they're not paying him very much. And if they can turn that $10 million of cap space or so into, say, a Mark Ingram or a C.J. Spiller or some other running back to come in and lead a kind of a running back by committee and still have several million left over to maybe go pick up another starter somewhere, I think Philly has a chance to come out way ahead in this deal.
Yeah, the thing that bothers me a little bit with Chip is when he says stuff like, I can win and play with whoever is out here. And I heard you guys talking about it.
Yep.
I don't think you guys are going to go suit up and still make the same plays that
I am not, no.
You know, but
Tony might.
But that is, I understand what he's saying. And, yeah, you can have a few guys that are kind of just role players that, you know, are going to make a lot of the limelight plays, the highlight type plays. But you still got to have playmakers out there. And you don't get rid of somebody like Shady just because you think, oh, you can stick X or Y in there and get the same kind of results or even close to it just because you're this great game planner. And if you don't have that quarterback that is just super elite like Tom Brady, which I think they do a lot of that, is they can just stick some guys in there. Because, I mean, if you think about it, who has Tom Brady's receivers been over the years besides somebody like Branch and –
Well, I mean, he had Moss and Welker
and
for
Moss,
a brief period,
and, Welker,
and they didn't
yeah.
win the Super Bowl with those guys.
Yeah,
he won it with the David Pattons and the Troy Browns.
Exactly.
And
so they kind of they do go away from the norm of they do have just some normal basic guys out there making plays for him.
They also got a Gronk in there too.
Yeah. So. Now I never said the tight end position elite. So they do kind of break the mold a little bit. But I just don't like how Chip thinks he can just bring anybody in there and don't just bring all your ducks in there because it's not Oregon. Yeah, this is not Oregon. This is not college football. But
it didn't work out for Spurrier in Washington.
Yeah, yeah. And he went and got everyone.
He had
a lot of
former Gators on that team. We'll see how it goes for Chip Kelly in Philadelphia. Today, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight with a focus on free agency once again, asking you, which of the big name current NFL free agents do you think is the biggest risk to be an absolute bust for whatever new team he ends up signing with? And you know who the usual suspects are. I don't need to read you chapter and verse on that. You can tweet us today at MD_1010XL, at David Garrard 9, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler. You can also post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well and give us your thoughts on that. Coming up today, there's a Polian influence on the Jaguar organization. Bill Polian, Chris's dad, has a list of 14 do's and don'ts for NFL free agency, kind of rules to follow as a general manager, and we'll go through those and see how they may impact the Jacksonville Jaguars. NFL.com's Elliot Harrison put out the all under 25 team in the National Football League. We'll see if any Jaguars get any consideration for that list as well, and we'll take your calls today at 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. It's Jaguars Today. We're live at Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, we continue along Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you live at Everbank Field. 5 days away from NFL free agency opening up. We'll get to a lot of things, including Mel Kiper's third mock draft of the season. Who knows how many he'll end up doing, Dave. But
I just love how they just keep coming out with all these different mock drafts.
You know, and you know, as much as I love them, they have their critical flaws, one of which is they almost have to change things up willy-nilly just to get you coming back, because if they really felt like right now, this is how I feel, this is how it's going to be, well, what's going to change in the next 2 weeks? What happens? There's not a whole lot going on right now, so they have to keep flip-flopping Amari Cooper and Kevin White, for instance, and things like that. So you look and say, oh, wow, oh, he's got so-and-so going here now? What happened in the last couple weeks? So it is It's really a little bit of a con game is what it is, but I can't help it. They've conned me and they've sucked me into it.
And you know, this is how they should do it. They should come out with the first mock draft and say to everybody, this is how it's going to be for right now. It's going to change as soon as free agency hits, because once teams start picking up other players off other teams and, you know, free agents start signing with teams, we're going to come out with our post kind of free agent mock draft again, and then right before the draft, we're going to come out with our third.
That would be plenty sufficient.
Yeah,
right?
And the fact that he's already come out with three different ones before we even hit free agency just tells you that they have no idea.
Two words, Dave: page clicks. Okay,
yeah,
that's all. I mean, that's really what it boils down to, right? And you know, I'm one of the sheep that just gets right in line, click, 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 click every single time I see one. I just line up and take it in. Now, Bill Polian put an article up on ESPN.com yesterday, part of the insider package. And among, the things he grades the top free agents. By the way, Ndamukong Suh gets an A+. He's the only A+ guy out there. But he has a 14 rule list of do's and don'ts for approaching NFL free agency. So let's take a look at these guys and let's see how we think they impact the Jacksonville Jaguars in a positive or negative way. If you're following the Polian model, keep it in mind, son Chris works in the organization. Is there some of that Polian influence? Is some of this thinking duplicated by a guy like Dave Caldwell? Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk with Dave Caldwell about that. He is, we're hoping to catch up with him maybe on tomorrow's program. But Bill Polian's rule number one of the do's and don'ts for NFL free agency is, number one, do fill needs and make sure the player has a specific scheme fit. Seems pretty straightforward.
Yep.
Just about every team's going to follow that, right? Now, the question I've brought up kind of with Ndamukong Suh maybe applies to number two here. It says, number two, don't sign a player and change his techniques. Okay? If somebody sent me, because we've been discussing this a little bit this week, Tony and I, Ndamukong Suh, Cindric Marks, and Roy Miller. How do you get the most out of those three guys? Do you find yourself playing Ndamukong Suh at Red Bryant's spot if you were to go out and sign him at left end? And then clearly, every tackle doesn't play every snap. Roy Miller played about 50% of the snaps, and Cindric Marks played about 70, and they want to cut that down. So you think about that. If it were a three-tackle rotation, that would seem to leave plenty of snaps in there for Suh, but is that the best use of him? So the big thing is, you go back historically, this franchise, Bryce Paup, right, comes in, he's NFL Defensive Player of the Year. He's playing in a 3-4 defense with Green Bay. Well, they signed him here, and they want to put him in a 4-3 defense, and he was no good. He was terrible, you know? So I think that's an example. Just because the guy is a good fit in one system doesn't necessarily mean he'll be a good fit in your system.
That's true, especially when you go from a 4-3 to a 3-4. Those are two totally different types of down linemen. I think if you're just talking about if he's a shade tackle, if he's a nose guard, or if he's an actual tackle, I think they both can mix pretty good and still be effective. I don't think you lose that much. I think you'll have to learn some little subtle things, but still you're not lined head up on the center and just two gap. That's totally different. That's 3-4. That's what, you know, Wilfork does up in New England. But if you're just shading the guy and you're hitting that gap and you're still applying pressure up the middle, if you're able to squeeze through there and hit the backs in the backfield, I think you can get away with that kind of movement as opposed to you've been a tackle your whole life. You can still play that nose guard position.
Wilfork, by the way, looks like his tenure in New England is done. And he says he's cool with it. He's like, look, I won a Super Bowl my first year there. I won a Super Bowl my last year there. I'm not done playing football. Still love playing football.
Yeah.
Still feel like I can play at a high level. But it does look like he's going to be moving on from the New England Patriots. Number three on Bill Polian's do's and don'ts list for NFL free agency is, do know the player you are signing very well, and he emphasizes very. How realistic is that, though? How much can you know if you're a pursuer of Ndamukong Suh, unless you're the Detroit Lions, you got a couple of days to figure out what this guy's all about, and they're all putting on their best face and their best foot forward. How I don't even know how you could possibly fulfill number three on this
list.
Yeah,
I think he's just saying do your research, do the due diligence of
as best you can
talking with other people around him that's played with them. Maybe you have coaches within the organization that had a player that played alongside him at some point or was in the locker room. Hey, give us some feedback about this guy. How is he in the locker room? How is he in the weight room? How is he in the classroom? You know, they're saying you can't just talk just to him, that player. You got to talk to as many sources as you can to kind of get form an idea about how this guy is. And then once you talk to him, of course, you're going to get all the fluff. You're going to get all the, you know, I'm
yes,
here.
Yes, sir. No, yeah, sir.
Exactly. I mean, I remember when we signed, the in from Philadelphia.
Oh, Hugh Douglas.
Yes. I try to forget that name.
You should.
Yeah. He came and he said all the right things. I remember during his press conference, he said, you know, I know I'm a little older, but I like to think of myself as a fine wine. I get a little bit better as I age. And I just thought, oh, man, this guy's coming in with a great attitude.
It's going to be fantastic.
He is going
right?
to just have at least 15 sacks in a season. No, he gave us two.
Yeah, he gave two sacks and and surly demeanor to go with it. Yeah. Number four here kind of goes along with knowing the player you signed. Don't believe that, quote, your culture will change a person's behavior. We hear that a lot, like, hey, we think we have a strong locker room. We can bring this guy in. I would say that I don't know if that's a hard and fast 100% rule, but I think that's probably a pretty good guideline. If you're bringing in a bad guy, don't be surprised if he continues to act like a bad guy.
Yeah, I think there's honestly only one place, and that's the Patriots, that actually you can really believe that when you get there, you're going to be indoctrinated into their system and their scheme and their locker room. But everywhere else, if you're a bad guy, I just think you're still going to be a bad guy when you get there. You might be able to cover that guy up just a little bit, but once things start going wrong and he's not getting his way, his true colors are going to come back out. And so, yeah, you know, good luck with that. Hope that you got a number of established vets on that team, and I'm not just talking about 3- and 4-year vets. I'm talking about guys that are in their 8th, 9th year.
All right, rule number 5 from Bill Polian, his do's and don'ts for NFL free agency. Do realize you're never, again, emphasis on never, one player away from a championship. All right, I understand what he said. Don't go crazy. I mean, the Jags felt like they were a pass rusher away when you were playing for them in 2008. They go out and get Derek Harvey. You know, they make the big move. Not a free agency move, but a similar kind of thing. And I get it. There's a danger in believing that this one last guy is a silver bullet that's going to take out your opposition and lead you to the Super Bowl. But, boy, when you get in that, you might not be one, but there have got to be teams that feel like they're – not much more than one away from, yeah, you know, a couple of guys. And if you're on the brink, if you're the Colts last year and you make it as far as you did and you have a few obvious holes and you can shore those two or three things up, why wouldn't they think that that is the missing formula for them to win a Super Bowl this year?
Yeah, I would think you want to just take the chance on filling those type of players that you're saying. If you feel like you're one running back away or one defensive back away, you go fill those needs with the chance and hopes that you are going to get yourself to a championship game. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to win it, but you think that you have the ability and the chance now to at least compete to get to that point. And you can't just sit there and say, you know, we're one guy away, but, you know, we're not going to put all our hopes and chips on this one guy. You want that chance. And if you think that guy is going to fill that need, then you're going to go out.
Go get him.
And go get him. Yeah. Why not?
All right. Moving through a few of these here from Bill Polian. So number 6, do be very disciplined in sticking to your budget. And I think a lot of Jaguar fans will look and say, what budget? They have the most cap space in the league. Now, that doesn't, again, just because you can pay Ndamukong Suh more than anybody doesn't mean you should pay him $40 million a year, right? I mean, you could, and you could guarantee probably getting it if you're going to double. It's within your realm of possibility, but that doesn't fit with trying to fill a lot of holes on a football team and keep things in kind of balance. So I think that's just pretty sage advice for just about everyone's got a budget. The Jags is probably a little bit more extravagant this offseason, or perhaps a lot, than some of the teams in the National Football League. Don't pay a player above his grade. It's kind of tough to not do that in free agency, though, right?
If you want a guy and you have him earmarked as, this is a guy we want, we must have him, then I just think you outbid everybody else. I don't go so crazy to where you just blow all your whole wad on this guy, especially when you're the Jaguars and you have quite a bit of money. But you have to be able to say, if somebody like the Bills can go get Mario Williams and pay him $100 million, whatever they paid him, you got to be able to say that you can do something similar to that for a guy that deserves it, that has shown his whole career to be healthy, and that he dominates a position and he can take over a game. We have not had that in a long time, and it would be nice for the Jags to be able to have that type of player.
All right, halfway through Bill Polian's do's and don'ts for NFL free agency, we'll come back, look at the other side of those as well. Mel Kiper Mock Draft 3.0 is out there. NFL.com put out the all under 25 team in the National Football League, kind of an annual occurrence. They look at the up and coming rising stars in the NFL. Where do or do the Jaguars factor into that list? We'll get into that coming up as well. 641-1010. We'll also open up the phone lines to you. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you. We're live at Everbank Field. It's Jaguars today on this Thursday morning on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, a trio of NFL birthdays today, starting in 1946. Tony, who is one guy we can always count on? Give me the three guys off the top of your head that we can always count on showing up on Radio Row at the Super Bowl.
Michael Haynes.
Okay, that's a good one. It's not his birthday, but that is absolutely correct.
The other guys we can absolutely count on.
To me, this is one of the first ones I would think of. That's why I gave you three choices.
Who
here.
Is it?
Rocky Blyer.
Yes, it is.
Always Rocky. There, right? Rocky's always there every year.
And it's a great story.
Four-time Super Bowl champ, Vietnam veteran.
Used to be Lynn Swann. He's disappeared.
Lynn Swann has disappeared. 1966, Michael Irvin, born on this date, NFL Hall of Famer. Usually hear him around Radio Row.
I don't like Mike.
I'm not a big fan, but and one of my favorite Seminoles from the early 80s, Zeke Mowat, went on to play for your Giants for pretty much a decade.
I know him.
And throughout the 80s. You know Zeke?
Yep.
But this is, memory's a funny thing, right? In my head, thinking back to my adolescence, as I used to listen to Florida State football on the radio, because they were rarely on TV in the early 80s, every game, Gene Deckerhoff, Vic Prenzi on the call, Zeke Mowat, to me, if you would ask me how many receptions did he have as a Florida State Seminole, I would have said, I don't know, maybe like 125, something like that. You know, average a little over 30 a year. Caught 40 passes in his entire four-year career.
Wow.
40 passes, scored like two touchdowns. I looked up his numbers, man. Just unbelievable.
That's crazy.
This date, March 5th, 1964, the NFL teams collectively purchased a company called Blair Motion Pictures. It was renamed NFL Films, headed by Ed Sable. So there you have it, and they have been the propaganda wing of the National Football League. Not in a negative way, just they have been the propaganda wing of the NFL and very effective as well. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located here in Jacksonville on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, maybe you just need a new family dentist. You're new in town, 620-9225. The number, visit jamesjmccall.com. Get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The news keeps pouring in as teams make decisions on several veterans on their rosters from across the league as we approach the open of free agency. The Pittsburgh Steelers are hoping that safety Troy Polamalu will decide to retire because they don't want to have to cut him. It's a bit of an odd story for it to be public out there, but please decide. Basically, the Steelers are saying that you can't play anymore so that we don't have to say it publicly. The New Orleans Saints will waive running back Pierre Thomas. The Saints are one of the few teams that have some real work to do to get down to the salary cap number. They are close to $16 million over the cap this year as of this week. The New England Patriots have released defensive tackle Vince Wilfork, declining the team option on the final 2 years of his deal. Some of the latest free agency rumors, a player the Jaguars fans are keen on, wide receiver Randall Cobb, looks more and more likely to hit the open market. The Packers are reportedly willing to offer Cobb between $8 and $9 million. That's something we discussed yesterday, and Cobb's camp is confident that he will be able to find better money in the free agent market. Add the Kansas City Chiefs to teams that could be getting in on the Cobb sweepstakes, a team that is desperate for a playmaker, a wide receiver. Their zero touchdown receptions for the position has been well documented.
That is mind-boggling.
From last
that
season.
Is.
And Cobb would seem a natural fit for Andy Reid's style of offense. The Philadelphia Eagles have been attached to both C.J. Spiller and Mark Ingram after trading away running back LeSean McCoy to Buffalo a few days ago. Free agent wide receiver Harry Douglas set to visit the division rival Tennessee Titans today. Brian Hartline, after visiting with Chicago and Cleveland, visiting with Houston today as well. Darnell Dockett, who was cut over the weekend, essentially has signed a two-year deal with the San Francisco 49ers for $7.5 million. He had been offered 1 year, $4 million from Arizona, which he declined. He got $4 million this year from San Francisco, but got the second year of that contract next year.
Right. Is it guaranteed, though?
I don't think so.
I mean, hey, whatever. That's Darnell Dockett's prerogative. It looked like, and he's been a very good player.
Yeah.
It looked like
11 years coming off an ACL.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm not – Arizona knows him better than anybody, but every team in the NFC West apparently made an overture to Darnell Dockett, and I didn't see him connected with any other team. It was just interesting to know that the people that see him year in, year out said, yeah, we want a piece of that.
Yeah.
And didn't garner much interest. Like you said, Tony, he's played in the league a long time, coming off injury, would not check – many of the do columns probably for Bill Polian at this yeah. point in his career, but nonetheless.
Can we go back to the Polamalu thing?
Yes.
I mean, okay, so you've already made it public that you want him off the team, but you want him to retire, so you don't want to give
You don't
him...
want the stigma of having to cut him.
Yes, I don't understand that. I understand that, okay, you want to be able to say that he is a, you know, he's been a Steeler for life, that kind of thing. I understand that. That's nice. That's sweet. But maybe this guy wants to keep playing.
Right.
Maybe. So why don't you just do the Peyton Manning press conference and send him out the door as best you can. And then when he's done in 2 years, 3 years, you bring him back and you have him retire as a Steeler. You've made it worse by saying we would like for him to retire so that we don't have to cut him. ESPN, rest of the world, we're telling you all what we're trying to do here. It's give the guy a chance to go and play some more. Collect some more paychecks, and then bring them back in and say, you know, we're going to retire you as a Steeler. You've always been a Steeler, da-da-da, and give them a nice little press conference. You can give them two press conferences that way.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's an even stranger story for an organization that you feel like the players around the league really like, you know, in the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this is kind of a weird offseason for Pittsburgh. They let Dick LeBeau go.
Yeah.
Ike Taylor is a free agent, and he's saying, look, I'm going wherever Dick's going.
Yeah.
Essentially is what he's saying to the media. Now you have a story come out that one of the best players on your team for the last decade, essentially, you're saying, please retire. It's such a weird story from a player around the league perspective, everything that's going on in Pittsburgh.
I don't think Polamalu has much left at this point. But
I don't either. But usually,
I'm pretty sure somebody else will try to bring
well,
him
that's
in.
What I'm saying, but
teams aren't usually the ones that come out and say, you don't got nothing left publicly like this.
Oh, well, are they saying it or
they're telling him to retire?
Well, they're telling him to retire, but they're not holding a press conference saying, we're telling him to retire. This is getting leaked by somebody.
They pretty much are, though. By allowing this to be on, instead of just saying, you know, hey, we're going to release you today. Let's have a press conference. If you want, you might not want to have it.
They want the best of both worlds. They're greedy.
Yeah, well,
like everybody else.
I can tell you if I was a player in the league, I'm obviously not, but if I was a player in the league
Are
and an
not?
Organization told me that they would like me to retire so they didn't have to cut me, I would be hearing, you're saying I'm done in this league. That would be what I hear in my head when they say something like that to me. And I would take that as a, I don't know how Polamalu is taking it, but a little bit disrespectful for a player who's done what he's done
right,
for that organization.
So 10 years from now, should they still tell him he's able to play in the league? I mean, maybe they're just being honest with him in their assessment of him. I get it. Look, he's been a great player for you. It's a delicate situation. I think that's why they are going through this, right? Because it is a delicate situation. They care how their fans perceive them and all that stuff. In the end, it maybe will follow LeBeau to Tennessee. Bernard Pollard got cut. I mean, so, you know, there's an opening at strong safety. I guess we'll find out. Lagerman hates when he jumps the line, by the way.
I don't think he's been very good for 2 or 3 years.
I think he's been overrated for a good part of his career, but that's a show for another day.
Well, I think he had back-to-back like season-ending injuries, I think that was his downfall then. That was probably 4 years ago. And then he would come back, and he'd actually play for a more significant amount of time, but he wasn't really being an impact player. I mean, he could never really cover anybody throughout his career. But then he started losing the ability to go make any kind of play.
Freelance and
he tried to freelance still, but wouldn't do much with it.
Let's take a look here at Mel Kiper's latest offering to the mock draft. Frey, what a surprise. Tony, any guesses as to who the Jaguars are taking in Mel's mock draft?
Is it a surprise or
Fowler?
Not?
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the most popular pick to the Jags and growing on a day-by-day basis. Jameis Winston, Leonard Williams in this mock draft going 1 and 2. He does have Kevin White, the West Virginia wide receiver, going to Oakland at 4.
That's kind of funny, by the way, because I actually, like I said, I listened to that first draft podcast with him and Todd McShay, and he was getting on to McShay just this week about he had put Kevin White to Oakland, and he was like, man, just after the combine, everybody's going nuts for this Kevin White guy. And then 3 days later, he's got a mock draft, and it's got Kevin White to Oakland.
It really, as much as I'm such a hypocrite, because I really do love the whole mock draft phenomenon. I can't not click on one and read it and read the whole thing and look at all the different ideas and permutations. Yet I know I'll sit here and just tell you all the reasons why you shouldn't.
I can tell you right now, if the former owner of the Oakland Raiders was still around to make the decision on this one, Al Davis, I wouldn't even consider Amari Cooper. I wouldn't even think about it. If these were the two guys that he was thinking about, considering he could get a 6'2", 215 guy that can run a 4.35,
right,
wouldn't even enter my mind that the Raiders would be comparing Amari Cooper to that guy. It'd be White all the way. I'm not sure if it's the same way over there now.
Although, I understand why you're saying it'd be White all the way, because he was always enamored with the speed.
Yep.
It also wouldn't surprise me at all to see Dorial Green Beckham go, because Al just is going to go his own way as far as that goes. He's got Marcus Mariota, by the way, going to the Jets at number 6. Mel Kiper was on Mike and Mike earlier today talking about Mariota and the prospect of the Philadelphia Eagles trading up to try to acquire him.
I think a lot of people like Mariota. You know, the thing with Mariota is he's going to take a little bit of time. He won't be a guy right away necessarily can come in unless it's Philadelphia and you know that offense the way he does. And that's what all the talk's going to be. Everywhere I go, guys, it's about the Eagles and Chip Kelly finding a way to get Marcus Mariota. I talk to people in the league, they say that's not going to happen. Look at their defensive needs. Now they have the need at running back. This is a team that couldn't cover anybody on the back end. They got to get a corner. They need multiple defensive backs to help that team stop people, not to score 30-plus points to win. So there's still some debate as to whether they will, in fact, move up. I think Kansas City could be aggressive maybe and try to do it. It'll be very interesting. If Mariota does drop a little bit, and somebody's not going number one, so somebody's going to drop, because find me a team other than Jets at 6 that are desperate to take a quarterback or will even remotely consider a quarterback. That's where the trade-up possibilities occur, and that's where a team, as I said, like Kansas City, obviously Philadelphia with Mariota, and if Winston doesn't go one, who moves up to get him? I think that's going to be the storyline that we all talk about leading up to the draft. It will certainly be the storyline on draft day, because only one guy's going one, and the other one's going to drop a bit, and does he fall to somebody, or does somebody move up to get him? That's what all eyes are going to be on.
Well, that's a question. I mean, what does fall a bit mean as well? Because don't tell me the Tennessee Titans won't consider taking Marcus Mariota, and they may opt to go Leonard Williams or some
other
direction.
If they're not considering it, they're not doing their job.
Right, so they're going to, and I get it, the Jags are not going to consider it because they just drafted their quarterback last year. Oakland drafted Derek Carr. They're not going to consider it. They're bringing back RG3 for another round with Jay Gruden in Washington, so you wouldn't think they'd consider it. So then, yes, the Jets at 6 look like the first logical landing spot beyond Tennessee. The question would be, how far of a move? I mean, at what point does Philadelphia say, oh, he's fallen this far, now we think we can get something done? I think all that, Dave, should get done with your preparation prior to the draft. Hey, if you sit in there when your pick comes up, here's some parameters of what we'd be willing to offer. Are you interested in this offer, yes or no? The answer is yes, okay. We'll keep that in mind. We may be calling you when your pick comes on the clock. If the answer is no, then you got a decision to make if you're Philadelphia. Do we sweeten the offer? Do we concentrate then on moving on to the next team in the list, right?
I think somehow Philadelphia makes their way up there and gets them at some point, because it's just too perfect. I mean, Chip Kelly runs a particular type of offense that has to have a particular type of quarterback to be able to run it. And when you bring in one of the best Heisman Trophy winners, you know, the guy that you've actually worked with before, it just makes complete sense, and he's already trying to change Philadelphia to the Philadelphia Ducks. So why wouldn't you somehow get up there? Yes, you are lacking in other places, and you're going to be lacking. It's not like you can fill all the needs anyway. So maybe they have to do some stuff in free agency to try to get some players. Yes, you got rid of some guys, but it just makes perfect sense. And this might be something that you can have a player that you can have a staple, a franchise player for the next 6 to 10 years. I would think it just makes perfect sense for them to somehow get up there. Now, you have to give up quite a bit to get up there to get them. But I still just think it makes too much sense.
The stars are aligned. Look, yeah. A coach only has so much time in the NFL, and he's won 10 games on average his first 2 years. So he's done well. He's been 20-12 in his first couple of years. So it's not like he's just scraping by. But radical reshaping of the roster, like you said, and just the fact that Mariota, he coached him in that system. He feels, we believe, that he'd be a perfect fit for that system. He's at 20. He's not at 32. He doesn't have to come up all that way. It's still a long way to come up, but trades have been made. Atlanta came up for Julio Jones. They came up from deeper.
Exactly.
There.
Yeah.
It can be done.
And look what Julio has done.
I tend to agree with you. I don't know if it'll be the Jags who are the beneficiary of the trade down scenario. Kuiper also talking about the running backs here. Todd Gurley's not in the first round of his mock draft. He does have Melvin Gordon going to the Arizona Cardinals at 24, but he talked about another name who he thinks could be the first running back taken.
I didn't have Gurley in Mach 1 or Mach 2 because of the fact, is he going to have to redshirt and not play as a rookie, or will he in fact be a factor at some point his rookie year? That's still to be determined, guys. Find that out with the medical testing between now and April 30th. I do think, as you said, Mike, accurately, he'd have been a top 15 to 20 pick guaranteed had he been completely healthy. But with that issue, now all of a sudden, MG3, Melvin Gordon III, who should be able to run better during his pro day than he did at the combine. I think the first running back taken, I almost made this move, could be Tevin Coleman from Indiana, but he hasn't had his pro day yet, hadn't run for the clock yet. Once he does, with the kind of productivity he had at Indiana running with the football, Tevin Coleman could be a pick in the first round with Melvin Gordon III, or maybe just Tevin Coleman. That's going to be a battle there with Gurley, I think, more of an early to mid-second round pick.
All right, there you go. Mel Kiper earlier today on Mike and Mike. He wasn't speaking to me directly, although
no,
it did seem that way.
Every time I hear Kiper now, I laugh. Caliendo has ruined Kiper talking
for
me. Todd.
He does it perfect, too. Oh, my gosh.
Tony does a decent Kiper.
Right,
he was working on it. Come on, Tony.
No, we're not doing the Kiper.
Not on command?
Not right after he talked.
Yeah.
All right. I need some space.
Yeah. All right, give it a little break. All right. We come back. NFL.com's Elliot Harrison put out his third annual all under age 25 NFL team. Any Jaguars even under consideration for that list? We'll get into that coming up next. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today live from Everbank Field on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today rolls on here, 1010XL 92.5 FM. I'm going to have to get all my excitement in next week, Tony. Week after that, you're on your own. You and a cast of thousands, like we always have here on Jaguars Today. But
it'll be St. Paddy's Day.
You don't have me to kick around
week.
That week. And it will be St. Paddy's Day. And there, hopefully there'll still be a lot of free agent activity going on. But it's also my kid's spring break. And I'm taking the week off and not doing this.
Going to good get another one of those t-shirts, huh?
What's that?
Going to get another one of those t-shirts.
Which t-shirt?
With the deer waterfall.
Oh, I see. I see how you're working now.
Oh, the long sleeve tee.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Mark Long. very nice. No, I'm probably going to go without any long sleeve tees featuring deer on them last night. I was watching The Voice last night. My wife loves The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
And they're showing some clips, behind the scene clips. And it was just funny. Adam Levine's standing next to Blake Shelton. He just goes, "You smell like deer." Just kind of walked off. I like the show. It's a pretty good show. It's not must-see television for me, but I'll check it out. David Garrard's here. You can check out David's new gym, Retro Fitness, expanding across Jacksonville and now open in the Harbor Village at Atlantic Boulevard in San Pablo. No other fitness club going to give you more for your money. Membership start as low as $19.99 a month. You can stop by Retro Fitness today, or you can visit RetroFitness.com for a free pass, courtesy of David Garrard. Dave, how are things going with the business?
Things are going great. Number two is getting ready to go into pre-sales. That's Bay Meadows and Southside. We're right next to the Panera Bread in there. So
yeah, that's a terrible location. Bay Meadows and Southside never gets any traffic in that area.
That location is going to be ridiculous. I mean, just the amount of people over there, the amount of traffic over there, it's going to be great. We've got a lot of feedback from people that are just waiting for us to get that one open.
Look forward to it, man. If you see Dave anytime recently, you know he has not been skimping on the workouts.
No.
I'll just say that. He may tell you, I haven't touched your weight. No.
I've actually been lifting a little bit.
Have you? I couldn't have told. All right. Let's get into this story on NFL.com. Little feature that they did. Elliot Harrison writes for them, and this is the third year he's been doing this. He put out his all under 25 team for the National Football League as a whole. Which Jags do you think would be candidates for the all under 25 team? Is there anyone who's a legit candidate in your mind that you'd say, wow? Or maybe a better question would be, who do you see going forward as the most likely to show up on this list that is still young enough? What leaps to mind for you?
I think of the defensive backs, actually. And I'm kind of...
Aaron Colvin, Demetrius McCray.
Yeah, both of those two guys are the guys that I'm thinking of as potential guys moving forward, being able to have that, get their names on that kind of list.
A lot of people last year probably would have said Jonathan Cyprian is bound for this list. Maybe he will be at one point as well. I think Telvin Smith could make a leap into the larger consciousness of the NFL this year.
His name is becoming one of those household names, especially in our area, but it's starting to gain a little more ground nationally.
And, you know, you hope Blake Bortles, certainly. I mean, Luke Jokel's still a very young guy. He's not 25 years old yet. So there are guys, but they're not, you know, maybe Brandon Linder becomes a guy.
I was about to say, I think Linder, from just if you look around the league, maybe the closest to that list.
That's a good point. Teddy Bridgewater's the quarterback they selected. And based just on the rookie year, you can't go with Blake over Teddy Bridgewater, or Derek Carr, if you're just basing it on what you've seen already on the field.
And I like Derek Carr, too, so that would have been a pretty good race between him and Bridgewater.
And that's what he said. He said Bridgewater beat out Derek Carr mostly because he avoided the valleys that Carr experienced in his rookie season. The stats were pretty similar. Carr actually had 7 more touchdown passes, but Bridgewater's completion percentage was a little bit higher, and his game-in, game-out consistency earned him the nod. Le'Veon Bell, you forget how young some of the already established stars are in the league, right? Oh, he's only been in the league for 2 years.
Yeah, wow.
And blew up in a big way.
Blew up.
May take September off this year when it's all said and done.
Yeah, well, he had a pretty bad little hit there towards the end of the season.
He did. He also got caught driving under the influence of marijuana last year.
And apparently he didn't know that you could get pulled over.
No, two to four game suspension.
He just turned 23.
He stopped when he was at the house, so, you know.
23?
Just turned 23 in February.
You cannot pry him off any of my dynasty teams. Not going to happen. Jeremy Hill, Cincinnati Bengals running back, second half of the year, was spectacular, really. Jags, unfortunately, saw it firsthand in Cincinnati. Yeah. Jags came clawing back in that game. They're right there in it. Scobie kickoff goes out of bounds. They get the ball at the 40. Next play, Jeremy Hill, 60 yards.
Yeah.
Game over.
And another one of those second-round running backs, which it seems to be where the value is in the league for
those
elite
spot.
Runners.
And
right
what's
now.
The other running back they have there that was?
Gio Bernard.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how he was just the featured back blowing up and got injured, and Jeremy Hill comes in. And all of a sudden now we don't even think about
it. You know what it was, though? I think Jay Gruden is so much more a pass-first offense, and Gio was such a good fit as a great receiver out of the backfield, and you get Hugh Jackson in there now running. I think he's a little more traditional, and he's still going to use Gio, but he's going to lean towards that bigger guy. No surprise Odell Beckham Jr. gets the nod. I mean, you could say he's one of the best receivers in the league just based on his rookie campaign, never mind being under 25.
You know, the funniest commercial during the Super Bowl was Jerry Rice when he was doing the Mercedes deal where he's talking about the tortoise and the hare. Mm-hmm. And,
yes.
And he's got this little kid on there, and he's asking the little kid, who are you going for, tortoise or the hare? And he's like, man, I bet it feels pretty good to be in here with the, you know, number one all-time receiver in the NFL. He's like, what? Odell Beckham is in here?
Yeah.
Jerry's like, I can't believe this.
Oh, man. Maybe I'm sure he hadn't used a stick and we wouldn't even know who he is
at this point.
The other wide receiver, have you guys looked at this at all? Have you seen this?
I have not. No.
All right. Who, other than Odell Beckham Jr., what young receiver leaps to mind for you? And, you know, keep in mind, we saw a bunch of rookies this year make a pretty good impact.
Watkins?
It's not Sammy. They ultimately, I'll spare you the suspense here. They went with DeAndre Hopkins of the Houston Texans. DeAndre Hopkins, you look at the numbers he put up last year.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Had some injury issues, but he's got a chance now.
I was thinking maybe Mike Evans.
He said beat out Mike Evans and Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah.
Basically, based on their productivity.
No Watkins.
But look. Both of those guys had better rookie seasons than Sammy Watkins, and I guess that it's not necessarily projecting. It's more like, what have you done up to this point? So either way, you could have gone a number of different directions. They went with Zach Ertz as the tight end for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Caught, 702 yards on 58 catches, which is, based on what some of the expectations were down here, Travis Kelce's the guy to watch out for here in Kansas City. They cut Anthony Fasano. This guy is a freak with the ball in his hands.
He is
Gronk-like in his ability to run after the catch. He's not as good as Gronk overall, but in that one aspect.
But I think I remember a year ago we were in here talking, and I think you were talking about this guy saying, man, this kid, you guys need to just
watch YouTube videos, right?
And I was like, who in the world is he talking about? And then I remember, like, the next game they played in, he had, like, this amazing play. And then I was like, okay, I think this is the guy Mike was talking about. So I just started keeping my eye on him. He just kept making play after play.
He's young, but he's already over 25.
Oh, is he over 25?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why he doesn't fit in the category then. Offensive line, Tyron Smith of Dallas. Some people think he's already the best left tackle in football. He's still not even 25 years old. That's sad. Terron Armstead. The other offensive tackle with the New Orleans Saints, the guard, Zach Martin of the Dallas Cowboys. And, he was the first rookie guard to earn first team all pro honors in more than 70 years in the National Football League. So I can understand why he's ahead of Brandon Linder. They also went with, Joel Bitonio of the Cleveland Browns, who, he was a second round pick last year and people raved about him, that he lived up to it. So, I mean, I would think Linder is in that conversation, but hard to knock those guys out. And Travis Frederick, the Dallas Cowboys, again, best line in the league, and three of those guys under the age of 25. They do have a hole at right tackle right now because both of those guys remain unsigned, but that's a pretty good foundation. Defensively, Sheldon Richardson of the Jets, Fletcher Cox of the Eagles, Aaron Donald of the Rams, Sharif Floyd of the Vikings. That makes up your defensive line. Khalil Mack, outside linebacker. 40 pressures last year credited to him. 40 quarterback hurries from Pro Football Focus. That's pretty good. Nearly three a game for Khalil Mack.
He was great against the run, too.
And that's they went on and said that Anthony Barr, another guy last year, coming out of UCLA, went to the Minnesota Vikings. And, kind of got overshadowed by some other rookies last year, but had a solid year. Luke Kuechly, still under the age of 25. He's 23 years old.
That's amazing.
Wow, 2013 Defensive Player of the Year. Chris Borland on the inside had a great rookie season, filling in for primarily Navarro Bowman last year. But
now you
hear Bowman and Willis, one or both might not be back, and I think Borland's one of the big reasons for that. And in the secondary, you got your corners are Darius Slay of Detroit and Bene Benwickery of the Carolina Panthers, who started really kind of like the second half of the year last year. And I didn't realize this stat. He played nearly 500 snaps, did not allow a single touchdown reception last year. That's pretty good.
That is.
That's pretty good. Tyrann Mathieu at one safety spot. Eric Reed of the 49ers at the other safety spot. Doesn't make kickers.
Tyrann Mathieu, that's the Honey Badger?
Yes. And then De'Anthony Thomas as a return specialist, and Brad Wing, your punter. Chandler Cantazzaro, your kicker for the Arizona Cardinals. Who really cares here? But no Jags make the list. Hopefully, they've still got, well, we know they still have enough young, raw material. Hopefully, some of those guys take a big enough leap forward next year to be considered for some of those honors based on their play and helping the Jags win some football games this year. Today, we asked you, in terms of free agency, you know who the big names are. Who do you think among those big names is the most likely to bust? We'll get to that coming up. We got a couple of phone calls on the line. Can we get, I think we can get, who's up, Tyler, on the line? Let's go to Harold and get him in before the break. Harold, you're on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, but good morning. I think y'all are right on Mariota. He ran a 4.5 40 at the combine. That's not on campus. You know, that's why David Gerard was the all pro, because he can run and throw. This guy ran a 4.5 at the combine. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, he's a special athlete, you know, and I think it would really benefit him if he got with Philadelphia to be right back in that same system. I think he'd be able to get in there and be able to play this year.
Give him the best chance, right? Yeah. I mean, you don't have to have that. The learning curve is a lot.
He would have to learn a lot if he didn't, because he's never really had to call a play in the huddle. He's never had a huddle. He didn't go under center very much, so he's never had to do the 3-5-step drop. He's never had to do all the play action from under center. So there are a lot of things that he would have to learn if he went to another system, another offense, and that would take a lot of time, actually.
Let's get Jim up next this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Morning, guys. Real quick, I just wanted to touch base and say, you know, we had this discussion a few weeks back when Wessling wrote the article about the Jags need a quarterback to play opposite Gross, and Gross was basically relegated to nickel corner right at some point. Well, Baldinger the other night talked about Dick Cotter helping David Gerard, and I'm like, these guys, their credibility disappears when they start talking. You know, it just blows me away, but that's a whole other thing. But one thing I want to ask you, and I know I'm not the only person running into it. I'm running into a lot of guys that are critical of Dave Caldwell and his picks and everything else. But the bitterness of these people because of the even if he's released thing, do you guys run into that a lot? I mean, as much as I do, it's amazing to me how long this has held on, the bitterness of these guys that no matter who he picks, it's going to be a bad pick because of that bitterness from that. And it just blows me away because I've been around a lot of NFL teams over the years, and nobody really, you know, I mean, crap, we could be upset because Coughlin didn't draft Tom Brady. I mean, if you get around to it.
But sure, I mean, you could. No, but look, we understand the guy you're talking about has obviously a lot more local ties and folk hero status and all that. But I'll be frank with you. In terms of that, he who shall not be named, I think my perception of what the feedback I get is skewed, because we do an NFL show. We do a Jaguar-centric show. Jaguars in the name of the show. I think the people that are on the opposite side, the people that love Dave Caldwell for even if he's released, are a lot. I get more feedback from those guys. You may not have known. I'm not the most Gator obedient radio host in Jacksonville, so I don't tend to get as much of that. I still get some of that. There are always going to be people that are upset about that. From my perception, I don't know if it's an accurate one, because I think it's a skewed feedback loop that I'm in. More people are happy with Dave Caldwell that he slammed the door on that than the opposite. So
what's the issue here? I'm not even sure.
He who shall even if he's released, initials TT, played in Gainesville. Why is this hard? Timothy, there you go. And they asked him, would you consider him? He said, not even if he's released. That was the quote from Dave Caldwell, one of the first quotes.
Why are we still talking about that?
Because the caller brought it up, and he said he hears it all the time from people who still harbor resentment about that. So there you have it. We got to take a quick timeout. We'll come back, get a few more calls, fan feedback spotlight today. Which big-name free agent do you think is most likely to bust for his new team? We'll share some of your thoughts coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Tomorrow, Friday's Jaguars Today, Alfie Crow from Big Cat Country will join us in studio. We're chasing Dave Caldwell. See if we can get a few minutes with the Jaguar general manager tomorrow.
Yeah.
On the eve of him being able to at least contact free agents, prospective future Jaguars. Today, we asked you the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. Which big-name NFL free agent do you think has the biggest risk of being a bust for his new team, Tony? Among the responses we got were what?
From Mike, we got Julius Thomas. From Hadari, Julius Thomas, not because of the product of Manning notion, but his lengthy injury history. From Isaiah, Jerry Hughes, because he's not been big with producing numbers except for the last 2 years. Tony said, and
Dominic, been in the league for four.
I know. Steven said Sue simply because of the money he's going to command. It's Adam said without a Pro Bowl quarterback, I'm afraid it's Julius Thomas. He had Peyton. That's risky. From Nick, Julius Thomas, product of Peyton Manning. His quarterback never played a full season because of injuries. From Major Ware, we got DeMarco Murray because it depends on the O-line and outside threats. From Adrian, Torrey Smith will be the biggest bust when you compare the money he will get paid compared to the stats he will put up.
I got a couple here on Facebook. I think Josh took this one out of context. He went with Jerry Porter. I think he's thinking...
He's right.
Yes. Guys that were busts. We're talking about who is the risk of being the bust in this class. So we also got Jack Del Rio from Johnny Crum. He said, do coaches count? Do free agent coaches count? I guess, okay. That's... Sure, why not? DeMarco Murray and Dominican Sue. So as many people as want them, I know there are others who think these guys are risky. Look, they're all risky for one reason or another. Life is risky, right? Doesn't mean you can't take chances. The fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, including Tom Bush Mazda. By the way, the 2015 Mazda 3, the 2015 Mazda CX-5, and the 2015 Mazda CX-9, all receiving Edmunds' most popular awards, and the 2015 Mazda 3 named by Kiplinger as best in class in the under $20,000 category. Check them out at Tom Bush Mazda, one of the family of dealerships. Go online to TomBush.com or visit them on Twitter at Tom Bush Motors. Had a suggestion on Twitter, and we noted it earlier. Brandon Marshall may be on the trading block. Not a surprise if you follow the NFL news. I mean, there's been rumors he may be cut outright in Chicago this offseason. And the question was, Dave, should the Jags have interest in Brandon Marshall? What do you think?
Well, I think talent alone, he is great. He's phenomenal. He's a beast. He's a man among boys. I just think personality-wise, I don't like it, only because you have a young quarterback here in Blake, and I would think that Brandon, his personality, the person he is, he demands the ball. He wants the ball so much, and I think sometimes as a young quarterback, you can get out of your progression. You can get out of what you want to do, and that's going through your reads, taking what the defense gives you. I think that he would feel almost forced to try to force the ball to somebody like Brandon Marshall, which you can throw the ball to him and he'll make a lot of plays for you, but you really get out of your progressions as a quarterback when you have a guy like that that not just demands it because he's getting open all the time, but demands it because, you know, he'll yell at you on the sideline. He'll get into a stupor and just change plays on you and tell you that I'm going to be open on this play. I'm not running the route that we installed. I'm killing them on a different route. So I want you to throw this route to me. And when you throw it to him and you throw an interception, it's not Brandon Marshall that is in trouble here. It's you, because everybody sees you throw the interception and they see Brandon Marshall throwing his hands up like, hey, I know we didn't practice this, but you should have hit me where I was open at. And it's tough. I just think he's got too much of a personality for a young quarterback who is still trying to find his way.
Yeah, and you look, you wonder in situations like that when guys who are still on a roster become available through trade, what is it? What's the flaw that's keeping the team? Now, in the case of LeSean McCoy, you know, we threw out some scenarios where, you know, as part of a compensation package of draft picks to move up from 20 to 3, mm-hmm. like to see LeSean McCoy in Jacksonville. No problem with that. And I think the biggest hang up there, well, a couple of them, Chip Kelly thinks, you know, his system can just plug guys in, but also the cost. But, you know, in the case of Marshall, you're like, wow, he's very productive. He was injured a lot last year, but so his numbers dipped, certainly, but I think he can still play when healthy. So why is Chicago trying to get rid of him?
And that's the reason why, I think, because he's so up and down personality-wise, his energy level-wise. Like I said, he goes out there and he plays and he can get himself open. But I've heard too many times where he tells the quarterback, hey, you know, I know we didn't practice this route, but I'm just going to run this anyway. And I expect the ball to be thrown at this spot. And it goes away from everything that you're taught as a quarterback. Now, there are times where you and the quarterback get together and say, hey, this route is what's working. But you can't break the huddle. The quarterback has the play in his mind, and then you say, hey, I'm not running that. This is what I'm going to try to run right here. But then we'll get mad or frustrated at you for not throwing the ball his way, and I just think that would wear too much on a young quarterback, where a young quarterback might say, no, you're not running that. This is the play. This is what you're running, and be more demanding. So he's not going to tell Tom Brady, hey, Tom, I ain't running none of that stuff right here. This is what I'm running. Throw it to me. You know, and I've heard too many times that's what is done, and so I just think that would be a bad vibe for a young quarterback.
Yeah, by the way, we're speaking of the Bears, Jay Cutler. I don't think it's a surprise from what we've gathered about his personality, but to me it's telling that even though it's anonymous quotes, there are as many as 10 former coaches under Lovie Smith and Mark Trestman have allowed themselves to be used as anonymous sources basically to say that you're never going to win anything of significance with Cutler. There's no benefit to doing it other than to throw him under the bus now that you're out of there. And maybe you're frustrated with the way things went, and maybe he was a petulant little baby, and that's true. But typically, I think these things are held a little closer to the vest. The fact that 10 guys and a couple of current Bear players have indicated, look, we're never going to win big as long as this guy's in charge, and that he does a lot of the same stuff. He decides, well, I'm not going to run this play. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it my way. And he's got no leadership skills, no charisma, none of this. We seem to gather that, but when you hear that from at least even anonymously from former coaches and current players in that amount, you got to believe that they probably aren't going to win anything with
that
guy.
When I see Cutler, I see somebody that's totally different than like Eli Manning. They both have the same kind of on-the-field kind of personalities a little bit, where you don't seem like they're too excited about anything. But when I see Eli, I see him discussing things with his teammates. Yeah, he's not a rah-rah, go get in somebody's face or even, you know, do a whole lot of fist pumping or anything like that. But it just seems like with Cutler, like he doesn't talk to his guys. He doesn't even try to motivate on the sideline or anything. He just goes, sits down, waits till his next plays, goes back out there. But then I also see him not really preparing for the game fundamentally, because there's too many times when I've watched film of the Bears and I'm trying to break down the defense and they're on offense, where he just drops back and there's no rhyme or reason to his drop. He just kind of shuffles back there, bounces around a little while, and just tries to gun it in to every, you know, receiver. And I'm like, well, what's the play here? Because he's got so-and-so open, but yet he's trying to gun the ball in down the field here. And I think that has been his biggest thing, is he does not go in with the game plan. He does not go in with the ability to say, this is my progression, this is where I'm going, these are my steps and my drop, and this is what the defense is presenting to me, so this is what's going to take me to the open guy. I just see him get back. It's too much backyard football where he just drops back, tries to gun it in with his strong arm, and that hasn't worked at all.
It's the curse of having too good an arm.
Yeah.
An issue I never had myself. I know that surprises you, but yeah. It apparently is an issue with Jay Cutler. All right, that's going to do it for us today. David, you have a prediction. Who's the first free agent that the Jags will sign next week? Out of all these names we've been kicking around, who do you think actually lands here ultimately?
I'm going to say either Bulaga or Cobb.
One of the Packers. Maybe both.
Maybe both.
Never know. Maybe six guys on Tuesday.
We love it.
Hey, right now you can keep your hopes up for that. Anyway, we're hoping that we'll get Dave Caldwell in to speak with us tomorrow if he has a few minutes. If not, either way, I'm sure he'll spend that time preparing for the onslaught that is free agency. Alfie Crow of Big Cat Country joins us in studio tomorrow, continuing to get you prepared for free agency opening up next Tuesday. So, for David Garrard, for Fat Tony, for Joe Fortunato and Tyler Devitt, I'm Mike Dempsey. That does it for us today on Jaguars Today. XL Primetime coming your way next, right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.